On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's great to have everyone here again. Flubi, how are you doing?
My favorite day of the week, Thursday 2 to 3. You're listening to Future CEOs, and I've had a great week. How have you been?
I've had a good week as well. I've been able to see and do quite a lot of stuff this week, but we're not getting into that because we're here to talk future CEOs. Who are future CEOs, Flubi?
Well, basically, you know, young and upcoming, ambitious executives who want to fast track their careers.
And what about the business people out there?
Of course, they're young entrepreneurs who also want to fast track their careers. And what I love about the show, it's about, you know, just giving them the tools to empower, to motivate and inspire them to become the best future CEOs possible.
Well, of course, we've got a really, really good show lined up because there's some really good content that was shared with us a couple of weeks ago, or rather last week, in the budget speech. But before we get into that, let's just remind everyone how they can get in contact with us here. So if you want to join the conversation, you can call in on 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. You can also contact us via Twitter at @future_CEOs or @CliffCentral.com. Or you can go onto WeChat and look for the Cliff Central page. You can get hold of us there as well. All right. That's all we need to say about that. Flubi, what are we talking about today?
Post-budget speech. Let me do that again.
Okay.
Post-budget speech analysis.
That sounds so boring.
I know.
So I think we're going to be relying on our in-studio guests and experts to really turn this
into something. Bring it to life. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go around the studio and let's introduce our guests. So in fact, we'll get them to introduce themselves.
We like that better.
Exactly. But let's start with a name. Madeleine van der Walt.
Yes, Madeleine van der Walt.
Madeleine.
If you want to say it in Afrikaans.
Madeleine van der Walt.
Welcome to the show. Future CEOs. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I am the R&D manager. That means research and development at Sage Pastel for the EMEA region. That's Africa, Australia, Asia, the Middle East.
Okay.
All right. That's quite a portfolio, quite a large geographical area you have to cover, which really means you're very important. Is that right?
I sound important.
And you are an expert in areas of employee tax and legislative changes affecting payroll, correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. Well, excellent. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Our other guest in studio is no stranger to the Future CEO show and certainly not a stranger to Cliff
Central.
And
he's looking oh so smart today.
Which he always does. It's the MD of Business Partners, the Managing Director, Nazim Martin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gareth, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, when Flubi heard that you were coming on, she started blushing a little bit because she was so taken by you the last time you were here. So we're grateful to have you again.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for that.
I dressed smartly, especially for her.
Okay,
yay.
Excellent. All right, well, those are our guests. Let's then jump straight into our conversation, which is really looking at how this budget speech that was just given to us last week affects you as a business owner, a young – I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about SMMEs, so small, medium, perhaps also micro enterprises. Let's jump into it and – there was actually an email sent to me a little while ago, which was spoke about a wish list. You know, what would we have liked to have seen from the budget speech before it was given to us? Do you guys have a wish list? Did you have a wish list?
I had a wish list.
Okay.
The first one on my wish list was, I hope the minister is going to fix the economy because we're all battling.
Yeah.
So I hoped he was going to have a magic wand in his budget speech, but it turned out he didn't.
Yeah, so, I mean, what would have constituted a magic wand to you, Nazim?
I think this economy is not growing. I mean, maybe take a step backwards. I feel sorry for the minister. He was really between a very hard place and a really hard rock with very little room to maneuver.
Mm.
If you look at our country, the budget itself, it's comprised of revenue that he's going to collect, usually in the form of taxes from all of us, and expenditure, which is for all the government programs from schools and clinics and salaries and everything.
Mm.
And if you look at that, then certainly we are spending more than he's been able to collect. And part of the reason he hasn't been able to collect the taxes is because the economy hasn't been growing. Sure. And therefore, the companies haven't been making profits on which they are taxed. Mm. So that was hard. So in order to try and balance his budget, or at least to get close to doing that, I think he had very little choices. Either he was going to raise the revenue, mm-hmm. which means increase the taxes, sure. or he was going to cut down on expenditure. We think he chose the easy part, which was raise revenue, sure. which means all of us out there, sure. Individuals, we are sitting ducks, basically, and he chose to tax us more in every way he could.
In every way he could.
In every way he could. Mm. But that's it's a dangerous thing at the best of times, because if you take the money out of our pockets, all of us as individuals, and out of the pockets of businesses, it means you've got to spend it a lot better. I don't know whether that's necessarily true. What you also do is you take it out of our pockets, which means we have less disposable income, sure. which means we've got less money to spend and buy stuff with, which is a downward, less money goes into the economy. So we would have loved him, on my wish list, we would have loved him to take a sledgehammer and have a big slash at the expenditure profile of government and see whether we can't do more with less. Which is the hard part, because of course there are lots of people who would be upset if you did have a go at the expenditure.
Sure. So let's just jump back a year, and they were speaking about slashing expenditure. What did you see come out of that point there?
There was an attempt at it, and I think it was stuff that may or may not have a huge impact, like cutting back on parties, I guess,
sure.
and catering and stuff like that. One mustn't be frivolous. But there was an attempt at that, but I think much more needed to be done. We have a bloated civil service. I mean, the largest part of government's spend is on the civil service, certainly, mm. or a very large part thereof, of the disposable spend. And if one looks at the civil service, again, some of my best friends are civil servants, so I don't mean them in ill health or bad luck or anything. But I think that if we simply take all government processes and we look at remove all the duplication and remove all the excess people that we have, then we probably could provide the same level of service to ordinary South Africans out there, at a much lower cost. And I think, but that's a hard thing to do for the minister, because remember, civil servants are unionized. Mm. The minister would have to deal with the trade unions. And of course, we're also dealing with people. On the other end, if you take all of them out, it means also less disposable spend into the economy, because they no longer have a salary. So it was a difficult. We think it was maybe not a great budget, but an okay budget under the circumstances.
Mm. Madeline, your thoughts?
It was a fair budget, at least. He could have brought in a super rich tax to tax the rich much more than he did. But I think he spread the tax increase quite fairly from the 25% bracket upwards. At least he provided some relief to the lower earners.
Mm.
And I think if you earn about 37,000 a month and more, you will pay more tax this year.
Mm. Sure. Mm. And then a wish list from your side, what would you have liked to have seen?
My wish list was to pay less tax.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. Not more, definitely. And I think what Nazim said, I would have liked to see more efficiencies brought into government. Less spending on staff salaries and spending more money on implementing systems and more efficient services than just having a large headcount. We heard it in the Gauteng budget this week when Ms. Creasy said that they spend about 55% of their budget on salaries alone, which is a huge amount. And if you could cut down that chunk to implement more automated system, more efficiency, and have less headcount, that would also make a huge difference. So I think more efficiency, especially for compliance with tax reporting for small business, would have been very welcome.
To either one of you, Nazim or Madeline, I'm an SME. Load shedding, broadband connectivity, SA Post Office, that's killing us. What do you have to say about that when it comes to our 2015 budget?
It has to be fixed, and I don't think enough is gone. When I say we should cut back on expenditure, we should cut back on discretionary expenditure. I think what we would have wanted government to do is cut back on discretionary expenditure, but then spend more on infrastructure, whether it be for broadband, whether it be for electricity, whatever the case may be. Because what one then, it's a virtuous cycle. Government spends during economically downtimes, like we are currently experiencing. Yep. They create the infrastructure, which creates a much higher platform from which this economy grows into the future. And I don't think enough has been done to spend more on capital investments and infrastructure.
Yes.
A lot more could have been done. And then more importantly, it's one thing allocating budgets in that direction. It's another thing spending it wisely and efficiently and getting value for money.
And implementation.
And we haven't seen that. So that's sadly the case. And I think my view is if government wants to get the infrastructure going, which we have been threatening to do for a long period of time, then I think we may have to have much bigger public-private sector partnerships to actually get that going. And I think therein lies some of the answer to solving the very problems that you just highlighted. If you were an SME, you might have asked, for example, what's in this for me? I think there was some in for SMEs.
Sure.
Or some in...
Can you...
Well, there was the turnover tax element as well.
There was a bit of a tax break on the one hand, right? And the tax break is more aimed at businesses with a turnover threshold of below 1 million rand a year.
Yeah.
So those...
The newbies.
The micro enterprises. Yeah.
And therein, what you've just raised now, therein lies some of the challenge. Because... in terms of that that tax easing up on the taxes for small businesses, if your business has turnover of less than 300, just above 300,000 rand, you don't pay any tax.
No
tax payment. And the maximum tax payable for businesses with a turnover of below 1 million was reduced from 6% to 3%, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
No, that's wonderful. But if you look at those businesses, a business, by the way, with a turnover, an annual turnover of less than 300,000 is a micro business.
Yeah.
It's even a business with a turnover of 1 million rand has got a monthly turnover of 80,000 rand. It's a micro-ish business. Certainly at the very lower end of small. Now, in South Africa, we need to not focus on creating jobs. We need to focus on creating businesses because businesses generate wealth, they pay taxes, and they create jobs.
Exactly.
So if we focus on business formation rather than on job creation, I think we stand a chance of addressing some of our social ills. And now, if you look at those businesses for whom there's some tax relief, they are micro enterprises at best. They are important in our economy. Don't underestimate that for one moment. They create a job for the entrepreneur and maybe one or two family members. But that's it. Very few of them have great growth potential.
Sure.
Very few of them are going to employ more than the entrepreneur and one or two other people. We need to be focusing on creating businesses which can employ the entrepreneur, members of his family, plus up to between 50 and 100 people. Then we're going to start making inroads. The tax break isn't aimed at that. So if I were the minister, I would have lifted the 1 million rand threshold to, let's say, 5 million rand. Because somewhere between 1 million and 5 million rand turnover, those businesses employ somewhere between 5 and 25 people.
Sure.
And then you stand a realistic chance of getting more South Africans out there into job opportunities. So whilst there was a break, we think it was aimed at the wrong market segment.
Sure.
Because that's not necessarily, that market segment is important, but that market segment will not necessarily help us solve our unemployment and inequality problem.
What are your views, Madeleine?
Well, at least the tax break on the turnover tax, I feel, helps to sustain startups. So it just puts that extra bit of cash into the startup business owner.
Absolutely.
Just to help them like make it out there for another year at least.
Absolutely.
And I think government needs to take the step from taking that small micro enterprise and moving them into this SMME market. I know that they've allocated 3.5 billion rand for small business development.
I'm glad you bring that up,
And education, and that was allocated to the Department of Small Business and Enterprises.
Yeah, Lindiwe Zulu.
Her department. I'm interested to see how they're going to apply that 3.5 billion because it sounds like a lot of money, But that allocation is for the next 3 years. I think we need to, they need to use that money for up until the 2017-2018 tax year.
Mm.
So if you think about it, how many small businesses will they be able to help and mentor and train with that amount of money? So again, I think if they're smart about it and they implement the correct systems with that money so they can reach more businesses out there, it could go a long way. But if they don't spend it wisely, I don't see it making a huge difference.
Now, but before we go too far down that road, I just want to pull back to this. There are going to be some of our listeners who are saying, wow, hold on, my business doesn't, I don't earn over R1 million. How do I get this break? But turnover tax is very specific because there's a very specific type of business that is allowed to or that qualifies for turnover tax. Does anyone want to share how you qualify?
There's lots of different requirements, but the main qualification criteria is that you must have turnover of less than R1 million per year.
Sure.
And then when you apply for turnover tax, it basically replaces your income tax, all the different types of taxes that you have to comply with is replaced by turnover tax. So instead of having to submit pay-as-you-earn returns, VAT, income tax, you basically submit one return for turnover tax and that's it. So it makes it simpler, easier to comply. But there are a few requirements that you can...
Are there not certain types of businesses that are excluded?
That's right, yes. The detail is available. There's a whole list of requirements, sure. And you can find it on the SARS website if someone is interested to go and check it out.
Sure. That's the easy answer.
Yes. If you had the website open there, I would have read them to you.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
It's a long list, I think. Yes. But I think it makes life simpler. I agree with Madeleine that maybe if you're starting up a business, it's a wonderful thing.
Mm.
But sometimes these taxes and these benefits have unintended consequences.
Mm.
It may very well mean that somebody is going to try and remain in a startup phase for a long period of time.
Very
or at
true.
Least start one business, make sure the very turnover stays below R1 million, start another business. And even though they run side by side, they're different legal personas and therefore
very
they stay
true.
Below R1 million. So people, all opportunities have unintended, and that may be an unintended consequence.
Mm.
Which then goes to my point I made earlier. If you keep each one of those businesses small, you hire very little people in each one of them, and they don't have the potential to grow. And maybe you don't even have the ambition to grow them, because the two are going hand in hand. The business itself must have the ability or the potential to grow, and so must the entrepreneur want to turn it into a big business. But to come back to the other point, the issue of training, I think it's an absolute prerequisite. I think your listeners may or may not agree. The big problem for businesses or startup businesses out there is access to finance.
Sure.
But an equally big problem is handholding, technical assistance,
yeah.
or mentorship.
Mentorship.
And I think we have found that certainly at Business Partners through our own international experience. We've always known it in South Africa.
Mm.
But what we've done is whenever we raise a fund to invest in small business in another country, let's say a $10 million fund, alongside that we get a fund which is usually comes in the form of soft money from those in-country governments or from the World Bank or from the investors in our fund. And these are usually in the form of grants. So we've got a technical assistance fund or
sure.
a mentorship fund.
Sure.
So we provide our clients with risk capital on commercial terms, but then we provide them with the technical assistance and the mentorship from which we pay for from this technical assistance fund at a zero interest.
Wow.
And if you look at the combined cost of capital to those entrepreneurs out in the other countries in Africa, then it actually compares favorably with what they would have been able to pay, would have been paying if they were able to meet the requirements of their best bank.
Mm.
So technical assistance is extremely important. In fact, we also have found that if you look at the mentorship, where we have funded businesses, of the businesses that we fund and that get technical assistance, only 8% of that business end up in trouble. Of the businesses we fund without the mentorship, more than 25% of them end up in trouble. So mentorship is important. Now, the 3.5 billion seems, if you break it down into 3 years, maybe just over R1 billion a year.
Sure.
But if you look at our ratios, 1 in 10, 1 rand of technical assistance facilitates 10 rands worth of funding.
Okay.
And 1 billion rand per year can facilitate 10 billion rands worth of funding for small businesses. So we think it isn't a paltry sum of money, but it has to be well thought out, well planned, and well spent, we think. And therein lies some of the answers. So it's not a little. I think it's quite substantial.
Okay.
And it's a good commitment on the side of government, really.
Well, thanks for sharing that point, because I was at a conference last week and that exact point came up, which was, you know, if you've got a really good idea, I mean, the money's available. There's always going to be an investor somewhere. But who is helping with the on the support side? Which brings me to another question. I mean, what initiatives are in place, old and new, that are available to those who are growing their businesses, or those who maybe in some ways have plateaued as well in their businesses? What is available?
Madeline?
Well, I know that Minister Lindiwe Zulu's department has implemented some needed advice, and if you go to the website, I know they've recently launched a little online magazine. It's called the Connect Magazine for small business owners that can to get advice on a monthly basis. They've got some contributors there that write some articles. So there they're providing some assistance. I know that they provide a portal for financial assistance. They had the National Small Business Colloquium last year, towards the end of last year, where there was a lot of discussion about how corporate sector can get involved in mentoring and how important it is that the private sector also contributes towards the training.
What is the Small Enterprise Development Agency?
CEDA. It's a government agency aimed at providing technical assistance, training, and mentorship to small and medium businesses.
Okay.
They are all over the country.
Okay.
They are staffed by lots of people, but they also make use of non-government officials to mentor and nurture entrepreneurs. In fact, for the most part, I think the number of people employed is minuscule in relation to the number of mentors that they have out there, or services they can call upon in order to train, mentor, or provide technical skills to entrepreneurs out there, startup entrepreneurs, and even experienced entrepreneurs. So that's there. And I think my view is the CEDA will, in all likelihood, report to the Small Business Ministry from now onwards, and CIFA, the Small Business Financing Agency, will already also report. So yes. What this means is that, I remember, we've never had a small business ministry in our country until last year in May.
Yep.
So this is clearly a sign on the part of government and an acknowledgement that small business is big business, is
absolutely
important. They're taking it seriously, that they're going to throw resources at it.
Love
And so those are all positive signs. I think it one step further, you've got to look a week earlier, prior to the Minister of Finance's budget. You've got to look at the President's speech. There was a promise he made in there, if you listen carefully. He said that, remember, government is probably the single biggest procurer of goods and services in this economy.
Yep.
He said, and he committed them, and hopefully they're going to live up to this, he said that they're going to, of all their procurement spend, 30% is going to be spent with SMEs. 30%. Now that's a lot of money.
Yep.
Right? If every government contract is broken up into smaller components, then it means that SMEs can compete with the big business. Or if they dish it out to a big business, maybe they can specify that they have got to use at least 30% for. So there's some. So you ask, what's in all of this for SMEs? There's government's policy on procurement and procuring from SMEs, which should be positive, and create a market. There's another thing that went with it, which was in the minister's speech. They're going to create a central procurement database.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you raised it. Yeah.
Initially, it's going to be a pain in the butt. Not only that, it's going to involve a bit more red tape than you otherwise would have. Because in order to get onto that database, you're going to have to get your SARS clearance, your revenue clearance. You're going to have to get your company's registration, all of these things to get on there. But once you've jumped through those hoops and you're on there, it means that you probably have access to all government tenders.
Yes.
Yep.
And you are, if you're provided, you can provide the goods and the services in any location in this country, then you're going to be able, that's going to be your market. We think it's an amazing thing.
Great for business.
It's great for business. So there have been some really positive things in the minister's speech, but that's why I said he's given some stuff to us out there and he's taken a lot out of our pockets basically. So I'm not sure I should be happy about
No, I agree with you. I was looking at it and just thinking to myself, well, it's really, I mean, he's done a lot, but also taken a lot. So it really is balancing itself out. We're running out of time. Just a very quick word from both of you, please, on the employment side of the budget speech. Well, implications there? There were a few adjustments.
There were a few adjustments. Obviously, with the tax rates, small businesses have to jump to get those new rates implemented when calculating salaries. There were some changes on the employment tax incentive claim, the way it needs to calculate. Before, there was no time-based calculation. So from March this year, you have to gross up the earnings up to at least 160 hours per month before you're allowed to calculate that claim. There were some changes in that. Then obviously the normal stuff, the medical aid tax credits went up, so there's some relief for us that contribute to medical aid funds.
Sure.
And then higher subsistence allowances, people need to keep that in mind when traveling for business.
UIF?
UIF, Fluvi, you wanted to ask that question.
I was like, talk to me about UIF. Yes, quickly,
well,
quickly.
Are you claiming UIF, Fluvi?
Talk to us about that.
Well, there was a proposal that the minister made, which I expect we should see implemented very soon, maybe April this year, that the UIF earnings limit should be reduced to 1,000 rand a month this year only. Which means that where the maximum contribution is now 148 rand, it could decrease to 10 rand, which is a huge saving for business as well as the employee because both contribute at the end of the day.
A final Nazim. Thought?
I think you summed it up earlier. It was an attempt to come up with a balanced budget. I think it's not a pro-growth budget.
Sure.
Let's be
Love
frank
that.
About it.
Love
usually, at this point in time, that's what we are looking to
Absolutely.
Government for, to come up with a budget which is going to free up a business out there to go and invest and grow rapidly with the view to employing lots of people and creating lots of wealth and paying lots of taxes as well. Mm. This one is not, and I think it's driven by the fact that he's got to look at a way in which he balances the budget, because if he doesn't, then the deficit will grow. We'll be spending more, and the deficit as a percentage of the GDP will grow. And if that grows, we've all heard about the ratings agencies.
Yeah.
They will downgrade us. If Standard & Poor's, for example, downgrades us by another notch, we're at the junk bot status.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to cost government more to borrow money. It's going to cost the private sector more to borrow money. It's going to cost individuals more. So I think, again, coming back to a point I made earlier, he was in a difficult position, no room to maneuver. I think he did the best he could under those circumstances. And although we think he could have done more, it's okay.
Yeah, sure. Madeleine, the final thought?
I agree with Nazim there. The minister was put in a very, very difficult position. And he couldn't deliver a budget that's going to promote economic growth. I think it was just impossible. So he had to try and just keep the economy stable at least, and just to create a basis from where we can move towards growth. I mean, we need 5% at the moment, but we can only achieve, I think, about 2% this year. At least it's not reducing. That's all I'm happy about.
That's the voice of Madeleine van der Walt, the R&D manager for Sage Australia, Asia, Africa, Middle East, and then also Nazim Martin, the managing director of Business Partners. We're grateful to have had you both in the studio. Thanks very much for being
here.
We've unfortunately run out of time. But up next, we are doing Startup of the Week, and we're talking to the co-founder and CEO of Wild Earth. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes. Thanks, Phoebe.